Welcome back. This is hour two of our class four for co-creating heaven on earth. And we will be focusing with our lovely ears. And I'm going to put up, Linda, you said the ear chart?
Right.
So this is one of the ear charts. This is a handout that we put up in the bonus section last class. So it is currently there. I believe it's also posted in your Facebook group.
And I just wanted to remind us of this for the fact that it's amazing to me intuitively all these years. I have, if you take a look at let's see, can I see it, the yellow, oops, this just came up, I can't see this very well, sorry, the heart, the red dot up, which is number, I cannot
right
see
here.
My screen, right.
Right here, if, can you guys see my pointer? Yes, good. So this is the heart. It's in red right here.
And so that second place that we put
actually, sorry, that's not the heart.
No, I was going to say it's down in there. Thank you.
My apologies. It's right here.
It's right in there where you go deep into that little spot, you know, kind of reach into the little valley of the ear. And that's where that has been such an important part over the years with a number of people who really were in deep, whose heart had actually stopped, and they came back. And I it's really interesting. Yesterday, I found out the name of the person who had had a heart attack and his heart had stopped. And I, you've heard, all heard the story, I'm sure. And I worked on this guy at many, many years ago, and I just found out his name after all these years. And he lived for another, apparently 4 days, long enough to say goodbye to his friends. And that's why that has inspired me. That one point has inspired me over all these years to tell the story over and over. So really look at that and feel it and know that it's something you can't hurt. And you can actually, you know, revive somebody with this. And then look in there and look at the lungs, the breathing. If you can see it right there.
On either side of the heart.
Isn't that fascinating? No. And just take a look at this because we're going to be looking at our own ears and getting a sense of ours. Just because the ears are such a, I mean, it represents our entire body and we can do so much with it. And I just want to look at this, get a little sense and share some stories, how you have used this work, because we need to be able to look after ourselves. And this is one way with these ears, with T-Touch and these ears, how we can really have the creative ability to care for ourselves. So Sandy, let's put up the next one, images that we had, which I believe, were we going to do our own ears?
The next one, we were going to look at the vagus nerve tree.
Oh, right. Yes. And the connection to the ears. Thank you. Yep.
And that is Eleanor's ear.
And take a look at the connection, the branches, and all where all that those connections are.
So this is the mouth and the nose and the eye, and of course the ear.
And Eleanor, if Eleanor can pop in here, if you're feeling well enough, how's your voice?
I would love to. I think, yeah, I got my coughing out of my system.
Okay, great.
If it's possible, I would love to tell a 30-second story of something that happened last week with the vagus nerve.
Yes.
So a neighbor of ours who is a very dear friend is diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And 2 weeks ago, he asked me, he's an amazing, he's a physicist by day and a musician by night. And he asked me, he goes, would you put your hands on my belly and tell me what you feel? And yeah, thank you, Sandy. So show all of that vagus nerve in the belly. So that's the diaphragm. Go down, all down, down, down. Yeah, all of that to the right and the left, all the way down, down to the floor of the pelvis, all the way down to those two branches, down to the very bottom. That's right, to the floor of the pelvis. And so I put my hands on his belly and I wanted to show him the belly lifts, right? The heart hug around the belly. And there was nothing going on. As a matter of fact, it was shut off and going in the opposite direction for him, whatever that is. Some of us, we go clockwise. Some of us go counterclockwise. I knew the way that he went. And I looked at him and I asked him, are you on a psychotropic medication, a medication for depression? And he said, yes, I just realized how sick I am. And I was so depressed. They gave me such and such drug. And I said, so tell me how you feel. Are you even able to go to the bathroom? And he said, for the last 2 days, I cannot go to the bathroom and I have no expression on my face. I have no expression in my eyes. I can't even smile. That's with the medication. And so I had talked with him. He called his neurologist because it made him feel worse. And they took him back off of it. But meanwhile, I showed him the circle and a quarter work on the ears. But I went to the heart hug for him and the belly lifts. And in 1 day, he said it got his whole vagus nerve system back on track completely. And he's got expression on his face and he feels and he senses and he feels fantastic. And so he does this work with the belly lifts on the belly to get the vagus nerve, the heart hug, and the ear work. And that is how dynamic, I'm not saying dramatic, but dynamic, happening all the time that this system is. These vagus nerve branches go through every part of us and are so involved in our well-being. And for the average person who we can just do the work on the ear, that's great. But know that we can reach the vagus nerve from many different perspectives, heart hug, belly lifts. And sometimes somebody needs all three. And it's fantastic.
And Eleanor, thank you so much, because looking again, let us all look. It was interesting, isn't it, that I started to do the heart hug and then my hands wanted to do the belly lift. And you can see why, how effective that is and how important and how many of us have a tendency, I do, I have a tendency to ignore my whole abdominal area, belly area, actually. Why? Because it's bigger than I'd like it to be. And how important it is, come on, let me celebrate it. And I want to, looking at this, I see it's even more important than the heart hug in many ways, because you know, in this class, we're focused. We've been focusing on heart hugs for a long time. We're focused on the ears. But I'm not focused on the whole. Look at that whole pelvic cradle area and what's in there. And how important that is for us to acknowledge that. Fascinating.
Eleanor, can I ask some questions?
Yeah.
So this... this comes down to this area right in the center. Is this...
Wait. Can you describe what this is for those on the phone?
Yeah, I don't know how to describe this.
Sure, I'll do it as you follow the cursor. So you're following down both vagal nerve branches, and it's going very richly down into the diaphragm.
Right.
That's going down to the diaphragm. So you see where it's dropping down to the left and the right, and that's very rich. Yes, the diaphragm, hence, inhaling through your nose and out through pursed lips. And the new thing, unfortunately, therapies are going back to no pursed lips. And I'm like, no. We need the pursed lips because that puts a little bit of back pressure back into the lungs. And that gives us that zest, that feeling, that sensation of goodness and pressure into the lungs that re-stimulates the vagus nerve.
And I'd like to reiterate this, and if we, I can't remember if we have any nurses or in this class, but I know that what 15 years ago, they were already in the hospital that my mother was in after that, saying, well, it's not good to use this thing that you tried to blow in through pursed lips, but it wasn't a long out in through your nose. It was just like trying to blow this thing and it wasn't doing any good. So I'd really love to know what the source of that is. What's it based on? Because thank you, Eleanor, for bringing the importance of the back pressure. That's what I feel.
Well, you know, Linda, what I realize is when you bring something in, you're bringing it from the authentic source. When people in the therapy world or the medical world bring it in, they bring it on a surmise. You know, they're like coming up with a new fandangle. That's a very different thing than you bringing it in from the source. And when you do that, I then take it back neurologically. I take it back neurodevelopmentally. I take it back embryologically. And you can't, that's the real thing. That is the real thing. And part of what you had said earlier, the heart and the lungs, right? Those are the same tissue coming together embryologically.
Interesting.
Embryologically, which is why if, you know, and then of course it goes to the kidneys, which is why when there's a heart problem, there can be a kidney problem, and it goes back and forth. But that's part of why when we give these heart hugs, whether we want to call the one in the belly lifts. And there, I think the reason we call it is when we go the circle in the quarter, you get that sensation of that little lift.
And when,
well, go ahead, Sandy.
I was just wanting to bring things back all the way up to the ear and how these branches stem from through the brain, like at the base of the brain. And by working with the ear, I believe that must be why there's all the acupoints in the ears to begin with, because you can connect into, and that's what I believe you talk about so much, Eleanor, we can connect into this, all of this branching through the whole system, through our whole vagal tree by working with the ears. That to me is an extraordinary thing.
It is. And some of the questions that are coming up that I'm reading right now in the chat, I can see how important this, when we talk about a belly lift, that is something that I came up with for pregnant women. So that you can, besides what we do on the horses, but for humans, it's a circle and a quarter and then a slight lift. But when we're doing the heart hug, I think you need to, we need right now, we can do it, experiment with this and find out what feels good for you. I wanted to share last month, and we didn't have time, But because the night before, I had spent, oh my gosh, I mean, I probably 20 minutes on doing really deep tea touches, starting from the right side among above my pubic bone, going all the way up to under the diaphragm and down the left side. And I must have done it for at least 20 minutes. And I went really deep. And there's the question of the sponge touch. What I did was go, and you can do it. Let's just do it sitting there now. Go
maybe,
down.
Maybe you can lower your screen so we can see you, Linda.
Sorry, thank you.
I don't think you can. I don't think that it's, no, I don't know if I can get it so that you can see what I'm doing. It's one of the problems with not having a camera on us. So I've got a dress on so you can't see, like, okay, there's my navel right under here. There's my navel. There's the top of my pelvic cradle right there. Now I come down right above the right side. Can you see this of my pubic bone? And what I did, lying on my back, I took my two hands like this. I do a circle and a quarter, and then I come up a little spiral up, and then really deep in. Now, if I'm sitting, it will be much better. And I just went, because standing isn't so good. Like lying down is good, or sitting, you can go in there. And you go in with the two hands like this, as deep as it feels really interesting. Now when I, and then I slide, I go up a couple of inches and circle in the quarter, of course, starting toward the ground, 6, 9, 12, you know, all the way around quarter. And then I come kind of up to the surface in the middle and sponge totally in. Now, when I did this, and I'm interested to know how this is for some of you, whoa, it was uncomfortable. And I was actually realizing like something was off. That's why I woke up in the middle of the night doing it. And I went in. You can follow me. Just like, be very kind to yourselves. Like, I'm going as deep as I can, and there's absolutely no discomfort. And it took me 15 minutes to get there, that whenever that was, about maybe 5 weeks ago. No. And whatever happened, it cleared it. It was really interesting. And then I had to do something else. And I wish I could remember, because I wanted to, oh yeah, I went like this. There. I had this like the ram. So I was coming in because I didn't want anymore to go stray in like this. So I wanted to go in and go deep this way. And again, I've over the years done this numbers of times, and I feel like I have a real relationship with that whole intestinal area. I should lead you through an amazing clearing of that I did many, many, many years ago that really worked, and it's stayed with me all these years. But now that's the sponge touch. I hope that clarifies that. So,
Linda, I've never seen you go that deep before. I've seen you do the sponge and we sponge in to talk.
Yeah, but you've never seen me go in my belly.
But we wouldn't go that deep elsewhere, right? We would just...
You can't. It's not possible.
Okay.
I mean, come on. You know, I can go way, way down in here, especially when I come over like this. So thank you, Eleanor, for that. Because on the body... If the sponge might be just barely, like not very much in deep in, because it depends on the area that you're going into. Totally. So the sponge in, the concept of the sponge in is circle and a quarter, come circle and a quarter, and then come a spiral up to the top, go to the center and sponge straight in. and hold a little bit, and then feel like a sponge as you come up, just like a sponge filling up, like a wet sponge as you come up out of the body. It's just following your fingers up. That's where the sponge idea came from. And I don't know quite how to, I wish I was really good at drawing this. So it's a circle and a quarter, and then you come up, spiral up to the center, and straight into the center. And let's celebrate sponges in the ocean, real sponges. Okay, so all this has to do with the ears. Thank you. We'll come back to that. There were some other. Wait, what was another question here on the chat that was an important? Oh yes, on the ears. Thank you. Do on the ears? Do we do a circle first and a slide? And when do we just do the slide? Some of you have experience with this. Anybody want to answer that? When you would do a circle and a quarter, and under what circumstances would you simply do the slide slightly upward? Anybody like to jump in? Janice, you've had a lot of experience, Janice, from doing this. Any thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, it's just that I'm so grateful for all this review, honestly. And as I've been working on myself, I'm thinking, especially with the ear work, just finding like spots that are like, oh my goodness, I need to work on this, because it's feeling very sore. And it's like, okay, it needs attention. Pay attention to that.
Yes. So
that's what I would say.
Yeah. And that's what I was feeling, you all, when I went deep into my whole, that whole belly area. I was feeling something. It woke me up, and then I went in, and whoa, it was sensitive, right? And so that's when I went deeper.
Yes.
And it's not like, it was like, uncomfortable. It went to a place of uncomfortable. But when I stayed there, and then maybe, I bet you it was 15 minutes, around and around I went, and then like it was completely the discomfort. I could go as deep as I could go to my body, and there was no discomfort. Now, please, there's another way of doing it. And that is, if you go someplace on your body and you say, ouch, then you say, okay, whatever that pressure is, I come a little off and I talk to the cells without that going to the point of ouch. I know there's a lot more to that, and I have to listen to what I have to say about that. I'm not sure, but what that thing of me like going that deep that night. No, it needed the attention. I was going to say maybe I was just being like, you know, old me, but I mean, what I mean by that is where I like, you know, push through something, but it wasn't, it needed to be addressed. So if it's more than a 3 discomfort, back off and really talk to the intelligence of ourselves. No, we didn't answer the question. So I see a hand raise. Is that Sandra? We didn't answer the question. When do we do it? Oh, it was Sandy and Gary. When do you do a circle and a quarter and the slide off the ear? And when do we just do the ear slide? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Because there's quite a difference. I see that. Linda. Hey! Hi, I see Sally, Allison. You got your hand right up there. And then Gary, you'll go next. So Sally, you go. Hi.
Hi. I've had a lot of prolotherapy on my back, which has made a huge helpful difference. The little lidocaine shots that they give you before they do the injections are the ones that really hurt. And I found that if I do ear work, it's a lot more tolerable. And I find that often I'm just sliding instead of circle and slide, and I'm working faster.
Yep. So whenever there's like that, I think, well, Gary, actually, before I say anything, you had something to say.
I was just going to say, I use that or have used it quite a bit in getting anesthesia out of the body, the continuous slide.
Just the slide.
Yep. Yes. Yep. No circle. Don't need the circle. I'm, you know, I do the circle whenever I want to bring awareness and then a slide. If it's just a straight, like getting that stuff out of your body, or in the case of emergency or shock, just do the slide. And there's this upward thing that I had this like tick, man, my body does not want this downward thing. It doesn't feel good. And I meant to get in touch with Ella Biddle actually before today, but there was no chance. She's in down south in that wonderful place down in Central America, whatever you call it. But the reason I wanted to is that I recently attended a Donna Eden day at our church, afternoon session. And I was so interested because what they teach is don't ever go down. The energy, the lifting of the energy is the upward motion. And like for me, if I don't come slightly upward, like 15 degrees slightly upward on my ears, it doesn't make me feel good. If I go down, don't like it. Now, and for instance, on the lick of the cow's tongue on a horse or on a dog, my hands will only go up. They will not come down. And I never understood it because I see people go up and down. I said, you know what? It's not what my hands want to do. But now, from what I understand from this person giving this course, wow, it does, you know, bring the energy down. So this is why, look at the cow's tongue, we go up. On our animals, on our dogs, and on our legs, with the last movement that we do with the octopus, if we just go straight down, it's not the same as if we do this movement, this interesting, like, figure eight infinity movement. And one of our one of our teachers in Europe is a polarity therapist, and she said that when you do this movement, like we do the last move of the to finish off the octopus, that affects the polarity. So whatever that means, and I don't know, I've never asked her, like, what does that really mean? I just quote her and I know the feeling, but there's something different happening. So on the ears, experiment. Huh? What feels good? Want to bring awareness? Do a little circle first and then a slide. Now, I would like to know, like with migraines, I'm trying to think. When I worked on a woman I told you about last year, she had a 3-day migraine. And she was giving me a facial, and I don't have time to work on her. But I said, you know, like, if you'd like me to do 3 minutes on you, maybe it wasn't even 3 minutes, let me just do it. And so I gently, really gently did T-touch on her ears with a tiny, tiny circle, no slide. And in 3 minutes, her eyes started to shine, her face lifted, and she was feeling okay. Whether it was completely gone or not, I don't know, but she was like really different in about 3 minutes of maybe a two pressure tiny raccoon touch circle. So thank you for the question. That's a really important one. And any other thoughts about the ear touch? I would like to know, to hear, we wanted to look at some of our ears just to get the difference, like what they look like. Can we, if you have your own ears there on your phone, look at them if you feel like it, or you can look at our ears. You should look at my ears, like they're so different looking 81-year-old ears. These are mine? Ah.
Yes, these are your ears.
Look how different the two of them look. Isn't that interesting? Man, I'd like to know what others, how different the other two. I mean, just in our class in Austria, Martin, you must remember this, when we drew our ears and we were just so surprised that the difference in what our ears looked like. And look at this funny fold. I'd love to know on my right ear, that fold at the hairline, what that is. And it's not on the other ear. It's not, well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But not as deep by any means. Fascinating. And isn't that opening at the top? Now, look at some of your own ears. And look at this. I look like I have pirate ears that they've been cut or something down at the bottom.
Down here.
Well, look above it, that little like, yeah. Yeah. So now put some of your younger ears up. Wow. Interesting. Sandy, your two ears are really quite different, aren't they?
They are. It was so interesting to look at them. The angle is different also, but they are really, really different. And how much lobe there is and how tiny all this is up here, and the fold is different, and you know, yeah, how all of this is much more pronounced, and the area in here, it appears,
yeah, sorry, really for those on the phone, there's no way we can describe this to you.
So and here's Eleanor's ears.
What are the dots? Have you got staples in your ears?
Yeah, so the different colors on here, what I separated out, putting those 3 points that you wanted.
Oh, that's what they are, not staples.
So these are, the yellow dots are the lung points.
Yeah.
And on mine, I had the intestine points, and on yours, I had the heart points. And then picture with you, with all of the points, all three of those points.
What's the blue? I forget. I didn't.
So blue is the intestines.
Oh, that's interesting. But that doesn't make sense up at the top, because that must be on the leg. There must be a connection on the leg.
And at the top, I put in the point for shock, because I don't see it on any charts, but we talk about it all the time.
But how do you know that's a shock point?
That's what I've been told with T-Touch for 30 years.
No, but that's on a horse. Never talked about it on a human.
I have 4 years.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting interpretation. The thing is, for me, for shock, I work the whole ear. I don't know which part is important, but I believe that by working all, you know, in four moves, that we're going to just help the entire body. That's been our experience.
I wasn't alluding to that. I only work that one point.
Oh, but think about it. Think if it's not thinking up there, because it's the tip of the ear is the shock point for a horse. I don't know. Interesting.
Can I take that off?
I would. Because we don't know. So it's a great discussion. That's how we all learn, isn't it? Now, I don't want to stay too long on this. This I was to give you a sense to look at your own ears. Did anybody, who have you?
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I just want to note that you say how important the ear is, and my naturopath, he has since passed, but he noted clients where he actually had to heal their ear where they had their earrings.
Yeah.
You have a hole punched in your earlobe, and it many times affects an acupuncture point in your body. And he worked with some women that they were having physical problems and they had to change the place where the hole was in their earlobe. Because people don't think about that because you're puncturing a hole there.
Yep.
And I wanted to say that years before I learned T-Touch, a massage therapist taught us to do stroking our ears upward, like you said, to stroke them just like that. To eliminate migraine headaches. That
oh,
was before I learned T-Touch. And she taught it to so many people who just thought she was the most wonderful person in the world. But she said, never do it downward. She told us to all do it upward.
Interesting. Who's speaking? I can't tell.
Morjean.
Oh, Morjean. Isn't that fascinating? And Pam Wanveer goes to a doctor in the Washington, D.C. area who only works on the ear. And he has kept her, worked with her with Lyme disease for, you know, several years now. And she's just done really well with homeopathy and ear staples, ear staples.
I have a question, Linda.
Yeah.
For discussion. So if all of the points that map all the different systems of the body are in the ears for horses, dogs, cats, people, and we've seen through the charts musculoskeletal points, another one shows emotional points, another one shows body systems. Yeah. If there is a point for shock for horses, dogs, and cats, why would that be the only point that's not present for a human? That's a question for me.
Because I never looked it up.
No. It's just a, you know, what I mean? Like you said, I haven't found it, but I haven't looked extensively. But as I was preparing for this, you know, and putting all this together, it was a question in an email that I had to you. Do you want me to add the point for shock? But of course, you've been teaching for weeks. So
yeah, and but also the thing to think about, it may be that I haven't looked at the I didn't have a chance this week to look at the horse or dog point for shock, and it may not be there. I got that from a veterinarian in 1979, and he was a vet who had just given a talk in Paris at the vet conference about working on the ears of a horse for working on physical stuff. And he is the one who told me that the tip of the ear for shock, but I would never, and that's been a big misunderstanding because somebody put out a chart and it was printed in our newsletter and everybody copied it. And it's just not correct because they only had, and some vet said to me at a vet conference, well, I'm really surprised, you know, I've been working on the ear and your work doesn't work for me, but when one of your practitioners does it, it works for the practitioner. I said, well, so what do you do with the ear? Well, I press on the tip of the ear because there was on the tip of the ear in this one drawing a point for shock. And we all know how important it is to be the base of the ear for the respiration and digestion and the whole ear for the whole body. So it may be that that's not even true. I haven't looked to see if there's actually a shock point. That may be something I either don't remember or misheard him, you know. So
if anybody does research and comes across that, let us know for both the animals as well as people.
Just Google it. There's a really cool chart that somebody in my class in Germany last week Googled, and I didn't have a chance to go and look at it because it has human sources and dogs.
And can I jump in here?
Yeah, please.
Sorry, thank you. As you know, Linda, I practice acupuncture and oriental medicine, and I put in the chat that in Oriental medicine, we use that point, like we'll bleed it with a lancet just to get a few drops out to quickly reduce blood pressure, to quickly reduce high anxiety. So I expect that it would have that sort of effect on shock.
Yeah, who's this speaking? I can't.
Sorry, it's Jennifer Strong.
Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I mean, these are really important things to share. And what, Jennifer, what's, you've never heard this story of this guy, you know, whose heart was stopped. And you could see there was less, his tongue was out, his eyes were rolled back. He was green. And everybody's standing around and I just kneeled down behind him and started just from the base of the ear, stroke, 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 talking to him the whole time in German. Stay with us. You're going to be just fine. Just stay with us. And I'm telling you, it was like maybe, I don't know, certainly not 10, 15 seconds. And like he just took this enormous breath and tongue went back in, eyes came down, and you could see the breathing. And he's the one who'd had the massive heart attack, and he lived another 4 days. And I just heard this story at dinner last night because the person who had sent someone to run to my stand to get me was his friend, and he was standing there when the man dropped dead. And it just turns out, for those of you in the horse world, that his son, Axel Schmidt, is now running one of the biggest classical schools for riding in Germany. And I just found out it was his dad that, you know, the ear he touched saved for them to say goodbye. And you just can't even imagine, I don't think, what that feels to be able to be there for somebody and, you know, help them at that point when they're, he was gone. I mean, it was, and that's, we've had several cases like this over the years where the person lived to get medical help. So these ear things are really, 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 it's one of the heart hugs. And now I see how important, and I thank Robin for this, you know, belly hug, because she can't do a heart hug. And so she didn't do it. And she said, I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I can do a belly hug. And that's how I started bringing awareness. That's why we did this at the celebration. And I see, Eleanor, from this beautiful chart, how important it is. How important for us. I really like us to start talking to all of that stuff that so many of us didn't like because, you know, it pushes our genes out. It doesn't look so good. What do you think? What's that about?
Linda, Cindy... Oh, yes. Well, that's a good question. Cindy Ketchbaugh would like to ask something. She was raising her hand. So, Cindy,
I just did you want to tell a really quick story? And also, first of all, I was surprised, too, at how different my 2 ears were. But I have an autoimmune neurological disease, and I went to an acupuncturist, and he put an ear tack in. It's like a triangular shaped dimple in your ear. And yeah. I came home and I did research on it and found out it was called the Shen Men. But it's also called the Gates of Heaven. So the next time that I went to see him, I said, thank you for opening up my Gates of Heaven for me.
Love it. Oh, yes.
It's for stress.
Yes. And do you feel a difference?
Oh, yes. It helped me quite a bit. And yeah, it definitely did make a huge difference.
Fantastic. Good. Good. So other sharing, who got something from looking at the ears, or who has an ear story that's important to share? Nobody's doing anything with ears.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I would like to share, I was a nurse 13 years long, and we had really, I saw that the anesthetic doctors always, when the people not come out from the anesthetic state, they rub the ear on this part, the lower part. And so I asked them and they said, yeah, this, that's the point that they get out of the anesthetic state.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah. And therefore, for me, the shock, of course, I worked the whole ear.
Yeah.
But for me, the shock point in the, for the people is more down here.
Yeah. And think about it, because that's the whole, if you look at the fetal chart in the ear, right? That's where the head is.
Yeah.
In of the course. Like, yeah. Like this, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Let's just feel a minute and feel if who would like to share. Remember that each time you share, it can make a huge difference to somebody else's life.
Well, I'll share about you wanted an ear story.
Yes.
This is more Jean. And I have to drink lots of water so I don't get dehydrated. And I had started a different system of cleansing something, and I didn't know that I wasn't drinking enough water. And it got hot in the car, and I was in town, and I was parked in the shade, and I didn't literally think I could drive home. I had another almost an hour to drive home. I was so weak, and I thought I was going to faint in the car. And I sat there and did ear work for 10 minutes, and then I drove home like I didn't have any problem at all.
Yes, to energize ourselves with ear to touch. And
I tried to do the circles because I didn't know if you were supposed to do the circles. So yeah. I didn't know that. I tried to do the circles, but I did them for about 10 minutes.
And if you will, whenever it's hot, wet your fingers. Because if you wet your fingers, you will not heat up the body. This is something, that's really worth doing, because the ear to touch has a tendency to raise our temperature. Although Ella Biddle, our vet, Ella Biddle, who has used T-Touch as a huge amount over the last 30 years, says that the body will, the ear T-Touch will regulate the temperature. So I don't know that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that if you just wet your fingers with just normal water temperature water, it will not you won't get hot. I did it because of working with kids in Haiti that were dealing with not malaria, what was it? Whatever, one of those diseases that runs rampant when you have it, something like that.
Cholera?
Was it cholera? I'm not sure. I don't think so. It's another one. Something like, I could be wrong. Anyway, it's a really common one that I can't think of it at the moment.
Linda, yes. Sage, please unmute yourself. You're the one I can't unmute, but she has a very interesting thing to say about the ear work.
Ear T-Touch.
Yes. Ear T-Touch. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
Listen, I have to correct myself. We're trying to say this in Europe now, so I'm correcting myself all the time.
And just before Sage shares, Linda sent me a text saying that because we took such a long break, we're going to go about 7 minutes after the hour. So I just want to let everybody know.
So, Sage.
Yes. So I've had a thing in my left ear for my entire life where when I have a massage or I'm having cranial sacral work or sometimes even just sitting, my left ear almost feels like the bones in the ear get hooked, there's not freedom of movement. And it has in the past made me feel really sick to my stomach, like I'm ready to throw up.
Whoa.
And anyway, I was working with a cranial sacral person at one point, and she said, what about birthing trauma? And both my sister and I were forceps babies in the 60s. So we, you know, had a clamp on our heads and were pulled out by our head. And after a couple of things, after my mom died last year, I started really looking at birthing. You know, how was I brought into this world? How was I conceived? So conception, the actual physical birth, doing the Ho'oponopono around my birth, and what the doctors did, what they knew was best. Anyway, so I did some spiritual work around the birthing process. And I've also done a lot of what I would call pretty vigorous ear tea touches with the circles. So a circle and a slide, like really vigorous rather than gentle.
Yeah.
And really working that entire ear. It's gone away. It's completely gone away.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so important to know.
Right.
And there are times when I really do the same thing. I really go in for a few moments to do it.
Yes.
I see, let's see, Sally, Allison. Mm-hmm. Can you unmute yourself, Sally?
Let's see. Okay, it says I'm on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Whenever, whether it's myself or someone else, with the finger on what are the lung ear points and pulling, it makes me cough. Do other people have that same reaction? But that's the lung points, and coughing is lungs.
Yeah.
Odd feeling. It does. It's not a pain, but it's an odd feeling, and it makes me cough.
And what happens if you do a gentle tea touch and
a tea touch,
pull so hard?
A gentle tea touch is okay, but to hold that area and then pull.
But why would you pull?
I don't know why it happened the first time. It's been, you know, years ago.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it was a craniosacral therapist or...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, then, could easily be. Yeah, gentle pull. Yeah. And maybe you needed to clear something.
But any time that happens. But not if I'm doing it on the outer rim of the ear. It's right. Not all the same thing.
Yeah. Cool.
Lung points.
Yeah.
It's more than lung points. It's lung points and it's the throat, right? Because the vagal nerve goes into the throat and it's deeply innervated to the esophagus. And so if there is some acid reflux or silent acid reflux, that little bit of that stimulation can make a cough that's related to that too. So let's keep our minds open when we go, oh, it's that. It's never just one thing. It could be another too.
Good point. And speaking of acid reflux, we have not talked about that. I don't think we even talked about it in the immersion. But what we discovered in Germany in the training is that if a person has acid reflux, all they have to do is the heart hug and they can completely stop it. It's wild. And that is something, if you know anybody who has it, and that's when I use the elephant foot, just on very gently, like with a two pressure, instead of, and I don't know, well, I do know why I do it, because I want that direct connection. Either the elephant foot or, yeah, I like the elephant foot, no oars for that. And so if you know anybody who has it, experiment. I mean, it's wild that can stop it that easily. So we have a quote from Joan King that I want to leave you with. And we printed it out on the tree. This is on page 14 in the book. And when we open ourselves to source energy, we connect with cellular wisdom. And we're opening to source energy when we realize, remember that divine spark in every cell in our body. And we, this whole concept that I had, this idea, when I started connecting with the cell intelligence, not knowing what to call it, how to talk about it even, from Sir Charles Sherrington, when I got this idea, wow, every cell in the body knows its function within the body. And there was nothing that I could find written about this. This is before AIDS, right? So I kept thinking, what is this? You know, why? What are we doing? Once I got to the circle and the quarter, it has something to do with cellular intelligence. It's with the activating the function of the cells. I simply didn't know how to address it because this is intuitive connection. So this statement by Joan King, I think, is something to really actually write down and contemplate it. When you see the rest, when we open ourselves to source energy, that is with imagining with every circle and a quarter, activating that divine consciousness, that divine spark, that source energy in every cell, we connect with cellular wisdom. For source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe. Why is this so important? Our interest is activating for co-creating heaven on earth, activating both left and right hemispheres. And the concept of connecting to this cellular wisdom goes, it's our whole being. And this statement, for source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe. So when we connect with the circles and the realization, we're activating that, wow, divine source, or the function of the cells, the communication between the cells, according to Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, that we are linking to the creative energies of the universe. Why do I keep coming back to that statement over and over? Because if we want to change our bodies, we put ourselves out in front of us, and we do this beautiful, if we can come back now, Sandy will come back to the main screen a moment so we can all, if we just feel this amazing vessel for our soul out in front of us, and we connect with this, which I really encourage you to think about this tonight when you go into bed, just think about this. And we connect with the creative forces of the universe. That means, and we can really help to shape this function and to support the function of the cells, or the wonderful communication, this divine consciousness in every cell. And that's why, that is what has brought me, it's so beautiful on the train today, just looking at the people around me in all ages and all shapes. We were on a regional train, so it wasn't business people, it was just travelers. And I sat back and just in preparation for this class tonight, just felt these muscles, these universes walking around, carrying this divine consciousness. And when we remember, this, who we are, and this connection that we have, and we celebrate that, and we start to talk to the parts of our bodies that we're not so, maybe so comfortable with or so happy with for many different reasons, and we start to bring compassion and feeling to that, to those areas, and know that we can affect, we can actually bring creative energies to reshaping that to re-energizing in another way, just from our gratitude, from our appreciation, from realizing, wow, the wonders that we are. And that's when we create heaven on earth. So my dear friends, I'm really, really thrilled to have spent this time with you.
Thank you so much, Linda. What an extraordinary class.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Hi, I see this Karen Booth. I hadn't seen you before. Beth Glass, it's down. Hi, Elka. We just had a wonderful weekend together here in Germany. And Amy from Maryland. It's down to the line I couldn't see before. Hey, Shan. Wonderful to be with all of you. Every one of you. And let's do a last, actually, belly hug and send out deep appreciation for this amazing, wow, bacteria. Whoo, we haven't gone there yet. This amazing bacteria that is such an important part of our bodies. And celebrate that. And let's send this feeling of celebration. Let's send it out around the universe and give thanks. Just let's send gratitude and thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy and Eleanor and every one of you. Love you guys. Aloha. I'm hoping to see on Facebook some, maybe she or he sheds some other concepts about your cottages, places to go that in your mind, you know, that help us to co-create this heaven on earth. Blessings.